Hey, everybody. It is Brian and Scott here for another episode. Very exciting weekend. As you all know, South by Southwest is going on this weekend. So we're thrilled to announce that today we are broadcasting live from my bedroom office.
Not South by Southwest.
Yeah, not so much.
But we didn't make it this year.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, I can eat barbecue and bacon and, you know, beer at home. Like, whatever.
You're bummed, aren't you? You want to be there.
A little bit.
You really want to be there.
You want to be there.
Well, we all want to be there.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, sorry.
Like, if everybody else can go and be like a climber on, so can I. You know, that's what I say.
This is true.
I can go and be, you know, part of the shark jumping.
Okay. As opposed to last week's show, we actually have a name.
We do have a name. What is the name?
The name of our show is Tech Bacon.
Tech Bacon, people.
TechBacon.net.
Yeah, techbacon.net. Also, we are on Twitter at techbacon. I'm also on there at BC Bishop. You are on Twitter on?
At ScottyG7.
Mm-hmm, the number 7. So hit us up. Follow us there. We're also on iTunes now. Blah, blah, blah. Like you care. You're listening. It's
all
good.
For all the fun listeners out there.
anyway, so.
But, you know, I wanted to say one thing about the Tech Bacon moniker. Someone was asking me why bacon, and you know, it was funny. We kind of came up with it because we liked it, but I was at brunch last week, and this was like right after Brian and I had come up with the name, and one of my friends was ordering his meal, and he said, you know, can I get, you know, bacon with that? And the waitress actually responded, of course, you can have bacon with everything. So there you go.
Words of wisdom.
You can have bacon with everything, so why
Words
not tech
of
bacon?
Wisdom, Scott. definitely. So it's March 13th here, 2011. It's been an interesting week. It's been predominantly covered with South by Southwest news, at least the last few days.
South by Southwest, iPad 2 launch, finally.
Yes, we covered
last week.
On Friday, yeah. Which I guess it's sold out pretty much everywhere. I mean, at least on the East Coast, like everybody sold out.
I mean, I went to one of the stores to pick up some on Friday. Mm-hmm. And the line was ridiculous, as usual.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I've been, you know, for original iPhone 3GS, iPad 1, I always, and iPhone 4, I always went on the line. It was always like a cool thing. I dig the lines. Like, you know, you have like the camaraderie with the fellow dorkers, and it's like, you know, it's just kind of neat being part of that whole thing. You're waiting for like the massive glass doors to open, then the really, really happy, smiling people come out, and like they make you feel good.
And the new shiny is waiting.
Yeah, but I don't get it anymore. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I've hit that certain point, but I don't know if I'll ever wait in line again. And I see those, you know, at the Grove here in LA, like, you know, I would never go there in the first place. That's always had the worst lines, but just damn.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And you're not guaranteed to get one being in that line.
Yeah, and especially with like the different, like what is it, 18 different models they have. There's, you know, like, you know, white, black, you know, and then there's, you know, 3G.
By the time we were there at 7:30, you know, and they started selling at 5 or 5:30, they had already sold out of like two of the models, you know, within 2 hours. It was pretty crazy.
I mean, good for them. I'm sure the launch numbers will be awesome.
Yeah, they're already reporting, you know, estimates of over 500,000.
Cool. Well, I'm sure we'll know. I'm sure Apple will say tomorrow. Yeah. It's, you know, if they hit close to a million, we'll definitely know tomorrow. Otherwise, they may wait a bit.
Right.
And wait till they hit the million.
You know, this week there's been a lot going on in the news. One thing that I had read about was the BBM, the BlackBerry Messenger, is going to be released for the Android and the iPhone platform, which I thought was a pretty strange and interesting move on RIM's part.
Yeah, I don't get it strategically. Like, what what value do they think it's driving?
Extincting themselves.
Well, yeah, it's like, let's take one of the only features that BlackBerry owners really, really love, other than a physical keyboard, like the one thing that they say, oh, I can't live without this,
is the BBM.
Yeah, and give it out to like everybody else.
I mean, and like the BBM is cool. It's IM basically for the phone, you know, but, and I guess they said they're going to make it limited for the iPhone and Android. Like, you won't be able to do pictures and you won't be able to do other certain things. Mm-hmm. But like that, from people I know that have the BlackBerry, that's their key feature that they can't live without, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So like that's what's keeping them from jumping ship, and now they're going to open it up to everybody. It's kind of baffling.
It makes no sense. It's like, if you can go and get that, you know, application on better hardware, because I think everybody's comfortable saying that, you know, both, you know, the Android device makers and Apple make better hardware than RIM does or has or ever will. Why?
You know what I did think, though? Like, they have – Research in Motion has their Playbook tablet coming out. And from what I understand, it's going to be running Android applications.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this is why – they're releasing it for Android and iPhone because they have to develop an Android app for people on the playbook to use BBM. So maybe they feel they're doing it anyway. It's very strange.
Yeah, but even that makes no sense. Like the whole move to go and have Android apps to me, that's another thing that seems.
Well, I didn't get that either.
They're slitting their own throat. It's like, yes, you need, you know, there's no incentive for anybody to develop for Playbook natively at that point. So it's over. Like it's done.
Right. It's really, yeah. It's another one of those DOA products.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think they're crazy. Did you see, saw the interview with the, I forget the name of the, I think it was the CEO.
The CEO, yeah.
Yeah. Where it was like, it was like the most bizarre interview I'd ever seen.
He was living on another planet because it was like, okay, we're not living in a universe where there's Android and there's iPhone and there's everything else that's better.
Yeah, people would be like, so, like, you know, this is many, many months ago. This is
right,
old
right,
news,
yeah,
but,
no, it's on news.
You know, so they would be like, oh, so, you know, what is your, you know, your strategy with phones? Because you have the, you know, dual core tablets. And he said, what's your strategy with phones? Like, well, you know, we differentiate by the cores and then that experience will come later. So it's like, are you saying that your phones are going to suck until like 2 years when you guys can turn out a dual core product? Because everybody else is going to be doing that this year anyway, and they've had stuff running on single core. That's
right.
Been fine. So, yeah, they're odd.
I'm very curious to see what happens. I mean, I think the release of BBM for Android and iPhone is going to severely hurt them.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if it's going to be that much of a factor because you look, there's been this big explosion. Like the big talk about at South by has been, you know, like group messaging apps, you know,
right,
GroupMe,
right.
Beluga, a couple others. You know, like,
which we've tried out Beluga. We've tried out GroupMe, which they're great.
And GroupMe, I mean, I really like GroupMe, not to dork out too much, but like the conference calling feature, to me, that is the real killer thing. Cause there are lots of different applications that I can go and use for, you know, you can use, you know, group SMS or you can, well, there's lots of options. That conference call feature is actually makes it a real, I think, practical utility.
You know what I really liked about the GroupMe? Is that you can add any of your friends, even if they don't have the app. And what it does is they reply to a number and they're in the conversation. They don't even need the app.
Right.
I don't know
there's
if you realize
via,
that.
They're going via SMS.
Like, so our friend Sam, who we all tried this group, you know, GroupMe thing, he didn't install it on his BlackBerry, but he was totally in the conversation. He had it and I saw it, how it shows up in the text. It shows my name, then Brian's name, then it shows the whole conversation in the text. And he doesn't even have to be a part of it. So like you can loop anybody in even if they're on an older phone. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think GroupMe actually started as an SMS service. I think notification stuff is like a newer thing. I think that's kind of like they recently just employed like location and,
right.
and
yeah,
pictures
and which
as well.
Which is great. And it's nice that also one of the things I was reading I didn't get to try, but obviously they said that it will automatically switch if your data connection is low to SMS within the app. So like you could be texting and if you're in an area like South by Southwest where the cell towers get totally trashed because there's so many people and you know and you can't get a good data connection but you still get a good cell connection
mm-hmm.
and you can still send SMS texts, it will still go through. It'll auto switch over.
That's pretty cool.
That's a neat. I like the concept of the whole group messaging apps. I really see big potential in those.
Yeah, and it is one of those areas that's really interesting where and I feel we are at this place across the industry where people would have cool concepts but they would battle the technology. And so you'd
right.
always were trying to go and have a limited, you know, halfway version of what, you know, a non-fully realized concept. Now I feel like the technology has evolved to such a degree, the APIs are there, like the development platforms are there, where people can kind of just create anything, and it's to the point where it's like, I don't know that I need this, you know, this tool. You know, I wouldn't have thought that, okay, I really need that utility, but someone can go and fully realize it, and you can go, oh, and then you can take that and incorporate it into your life, and it can grow organically that way.
I agree.
Which is really, really exciting because I feel, you know, mobile applications had been somewhat hindered up until now.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be opening up.
It's
definitely opening up, especially with the types of apps you're seeing,
definitely.
Especially in these kind of, you know, group. More of the social aspect of the apps too, I think, is a big deal.
Definitely. The key to, of course, all that stuff is how do people end up, you know, monetizing the app, which is where I think Twitter's kind of, you know, got in trouble recently. Early this week, I don't know if you read it or not.
I did read it.
Yeah. Well, basically Twitter, they basically came out and they said to the developer community, if you guys are working on, you know, new clients, stop.
Yeah.
And basically, we're not going to let any more new clients. The old clients, maybe not, they'll go away.
Yeah, they said yes if they already had an app that they can use it. But I mean, obviously, they just want to just chop everybody's legs off.
Yeah. Well, what they basically said is the line that they're giving is that we want to go and maintain a consistent user experience. So everybody sees the Twitter experience as the same thing, whether they're using an app, desktop browser, or whatever. And the funny thing is, it's like, you know, it's like they try to go and sell it like that. And it's like, you guys just want to go and, you know, control the experience so you can push ads everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely. That, this is definitely the reason they're doing
it. Yeah. You don't have to go and like, I mean, you know, don't do the sleight of hand here. It's, you know, it's.
Right. We're doing it for you. It's to make it better for the user.
Yeah.
No.
But, and I don't know. I mean, I really don't know how that's going to go and work for them because, you know, I don't can't think of any service that basically exploded like it did, mainly because of so many different clients. You
right.
know?
I mean, oh, and all the other Twitter apps, I mean, they were pretty much available before the official Twitter application on iOS and on Android. Oh,
well, absolutely.
And all that stuff.
I mean, Tweety, it was actually ended as Tweety too when they bought it, but that was an independent third party developer had made that app and they just bought it outright and then made it their official application.
Right.
Isn't the most recent Android version, didn't they kind of do that more style? Didn't they?
Yeah. It's like, it's almost identical to the iOS one.
Got
if it. If you look at the Android one, the iOS one, they're with the pull down updating and everything, they're right. pretty much exactly the same. I mean, I don't see why they don't do what Facebook – I mean, everyone uses pretty much the main Facebook app. But what Facebook did was they came out with an API and said, you know, here it is. If you want to develop for it, go ahead. Why – Twitter should be doing the same thing.
Well, I think the problem with Twitter is that they don't Facebook has an easier way. And Facebook, I feel like they've already figured out how to monetize the site. They're already doing ads. They're already doing stuff.
That is true. That
you know,
is true.
Twitter's not, and most people actually don't use Twitter on the desktop. I forget the numbers, but like, you know, most people use it with some sort of third party app
right.
or mobily. So those people, you got to get, you know, ads to those
and,
eyeballs.
And obviously monetizing it is on their minds because that latest update that came out, what was it, last week
yeah,
to
with the
iOS?
Quick bar. Yeah, with the quick bar.
I mean, and they retracted that thing
and
fast.
People freaked out. But that's the problem with Twitter. People like it because it is an unfiltered,
simple,
open news service. Yeah, 140 characters. You can kind of do whatever you want, but it's kind of, you know, it's not, nothing's getting in the way.
Right.
If
right.
you go and start getting in the way with ads, people, I think they'll just like bolt. It's not like, you know, there can't be other options out there. Like after this last move, I have no doubt there are several like, you know, people out there with startup ideas to basically have like competing
sure.
services to steal from it, because if they start getting in the user's way and start taking away what people
yeah.
like about it, people will just walk. Nothing's forever. Like, you know, only 8%, I think, of, you know, people online actually use Twitter. It's not
right.
like it's some like,
no,
you
it's
know,
not
unimpeachable
Facebook.
Source. Yeah.
It's not Facebook.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, and it's a very specialized thing. I mean, I know a lot. I don't use it that much. I use it mostly to receive news updates for a lot of tech sites and CNN and stuff like that. But I would say most of the people I know, even really, you know, tech savvy people, don't use Twitter. I know people that do, but I would say most, you know, the majority of the people I do know don't use it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. It seems like they're climbing up a tree that is going to be very dangerous for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's and it's interesting. I read an article, I forget who it was. They're talking about, you know, it's much more important when you're basically building up a startup to go and know how you're going to monetize it down the line so you
right.
don't run into these kind of problems.
Right.
So you don't go
right.
and create a certain aura
people get
about
used to getting
and
having the free service. And
exactly.
we talked about that last week a little bit. You know, I mean, when you expect something and you get used to it one way, it's very difficult to get it in a different way. You know?
Yeah. And if you're basically telling people, yeah, we have to change it so we can go and make money. People like the free services, but they also, you know, they like that thing, like you said. So
right.
it's an opportunity for somebody else.
Curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
Very curious.
Definitely.
So speaking of the social networking, Twitter, Facebook the other week announced that, or last week really, that there was a test with Warner Brothers to rent movies on Facebook, through Facebook.
The Dark Knight, right?
And yeah, they did it with one movie, with The Dark Knight. You know, you go on Facebook, it was 300?
I think it was 30 credits?
30 credits, which equals $3 to rent the movie for 48 hours, unlimited plays within Facebook. I was curious. I didn't need to see The Dark Knight again. I love The Dark Knight, but I was like, you know, I want to see what this is like. So, you know, very easy to buy. Like, they made it, you know, very easy. I was able to do it. I believe I did it through PayPal right on the site. You can say, you know, I want to buy it. You buy the credits. It applies it right to the movie. And the movie starts playing right away. The quality is terrible.
Really?
I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not good. It's jumpy. It's not HD quality. And you can't have it be HD. It's only standard. It can go full screen if you want it to. But it's just – I'm confused why they decided to do this test where it's not a ready for prime time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless they're going to start doing this, like actually have a service, I don't know if they were trying to gauge interest or I'm not sure. I mean, what, you know, you read about this. What did you think?
I thought it was kind of odd. I mean, first of all, I thought it was great that Warner Brothers was actually trying to go and, you know, they've done a couple interesting things recently putting out movies, you know, in The Dark Knight included and Inception also as mobile apps.
Oh,
where
apps,
you could go and
right.
watch the movie on a mobile app.
Right.
Which that was an interesting way to go, you know, an alternate distribution thing. My opinion on all the online stuff is that this Facebook idea would have been great 5 years ago. We're already to the point where it's like if it's not on the television in the living room, doesn't matter.
Right.
Like I think, sure, people will watch stuff. I mean, it's, okay, that's great. You can watch something on your computer. I don't think that's where it is at anymore.
But
I think
it's going to
be in mobile devices or on the living room screen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to use Facebook for something like this, Facebook, social networking. If you're going to use Facebook, implement some social networking.
Make it a virtual theater.
Into the movie rental. I was shocked. I'm like, of all things, you're not going to actually put in, you know, watch it with your friends or comment with your friends or something. Some interaction.
That's the thing I thought. What is interesting about movies, the theatrical experience? Basically, you're in a room with all these other people, so you're all kind of sharing this, you know, there's something.
It's the communal experience, the laughing together, the suspense, the tension in the room.
Yeah,
you know, all
and you
things.
Can't really reproduce that online.
No, it's very difficult.
You know, you can't go and put everybody on Xbox headsets and have them be doing the same thing. It's then, you know, whatever. But I wonder if there is something that they can do to kind of create some sort of communal primal experience, because that's what it is about movies. You know what I mean? The temperature in the room changes and everybody feels the same way.
You know what I can almost see is like, you know, so they have now for like, for TiVo and DirecTV, they have these really multifaceted apps for the iPad now that have come out. Have you seen those? Mm-hmm. Well, so like TiVo has a iPad only TiVo app.
And you mean interacting with your box.
Yeah, interacts with your box, but it's not what you're watching on the screen. So you're watching on the screen, you have your guide, you have info about the show, you have info about the actors and stuff. So it's basically to be you're watching it on the screen and you're interacting with it on the pad at the same time. Imagine a movie experience like that where you have the movie or TV show up on your TV screen and you're interacting with it on the pad in a social way.
Or what if what if you were watching a movie with a group of friends and you were on your desktop computer? Let's say that it's the Facebook model, right?
Okay.
And while you're doing it, you're looking at your screen. Your screen cam is looking at you, basically taking video of you. And like there's a little window in there where you're seeing like all three of you and your friends basically having the same reaction, where you kind of can
that's
go and
freaky.
Yeah, but that would be interesting. Like, has there been any BD Live stuff that's been like that?
I know there was something. I want to say it might have been PlayStation that kind of did a group viewing thing where you could watch – where you can watch a movie and it had like little avatars.
Xbox had something, but I don't think –
was it Xbox maybe? It was Xbox.
They definitely had like a party view.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking of, where it was a party view, which is similar to what you were saying. But I think it was just avatars. It wasn't the actual image of your friend watching, watching the thing. I don't know. I mean I guess it could be distracting, but the Facebook – Dark Knight, I just don't – man, it's like all these things coming out interesting, but why do it unless you're going to do it? You know, I mean, maybe they're testing the water to see if people would actually be interested in it, you know, but like I'm not going to sit for 3 hours in front of my computer and watch The Dark Knight if it's not in, first of all, great quality, and in general, 3 hours sitting at my computer watching The Dark Knight.
Well, yeah. Why is that a better experience than anything else?
Like, yeah.
even if
there's
you
there's nothing
don't,
that makes it better or different.
Yeah. Even if you don't have cable, you know.
Sure.
Why do it then?
Right. Which brings us to not having cable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This week, after much back and forth.
Nice little segue.
Very nice. Yeah. You got him like, where's he going with this? And he pointed him like, oh. I had Time Warner Cable here in LA for years, which meant I was a victim of hell. Yeah. And finally I left, moved to my current apartment, and I got DirecTV, which was great. And I love DirecTV. But at the same time, I'm one of those people that realized, wow, I watch about maybe 5-6 shows at any given time. And that's not really worth $75 a month.
Right.
And as everybody knows, that's ever like, you know, dealt with their cable company, which at this point I think is everybody on earth that has cable.
Yeah.
They have it all tiered out. So basically you get all all the main network stuff for like $30-$40. Then if you want anything other than that basic cable, it's like another $30 on top of that and right. blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's basically just a, you know, a rip
plus
off.
The box rental.
Yeah.
Plus the, you know,
the DVR fee and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so
it gets to be a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah. So I basically cut the cord on my DirecTV this week.
Completely.
Completely gone.
Well,
like 2 months ago, I called and said, I want to cancel. They said, we'll give you 2 months for free. And I said,
okay.
Yeah, BCS championship game. Okay. It's fine. Super right. Bowl. Okay.
Right. You still want the live sporting events. Like that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
So basically I got it and it's actually great. Cause you know, everything that I really watch regularly, except for, Bravo and, Animal Planet shows. And I'm not going to go and say what either of those shows are.
Come on.
No.
Come on. One. Give me one.
I think I put it on my blog. I'm not saying it here. but
you people should see the look in Brian's face.
Other
right
than
now.
Those two, I can get everything I want. Like, you know, I watch Glee. Yes, I watch Glee. Everybody deal with it.
Hey, that's okay. I watch Glee too. I'll admit it.
Glee's a good show. Yeah.
Moving on.
Although this season hasn't been that good.
No.
But you know, rent it on Apple TV, 99 cents. Great. You know, 1 month of that's going to cost $4.
Right.
Great. Versus 75. Perfect. Also have Hulu Plus on the PS3. Although I don't really think I'm going to need that at all. And actually, I can use that for the Glee stuff as well. So I don't really
that's
think
true.
I'm going to have to really do anything to kind of supplant that.
Do you have Apple TV?
I have Apple TV. Yeah, I have Apple TV and a PS3. Yeah.
So I mean, that was another thing this week. I mean. Speaking of Apple TV, the
MLB and NBA.
Right.
Basically came out with applications to run you can subscribe to their services and basically watch the games live on the Apple TV. I think if you're in local markets, they can still be subject to blackouts, but it's just like the apps that they have on the iPad.
Did you subscribe to either of those?
I didn't. I'm not a basketball nor a baseball fan.
But you're football, though.
Right? Yeah, football fan. And that's what's going to be the problem coming around, you know, like in September college
like for
football.
DirecTV season pass.
Yeah. Like, you know, gotta watch my Jets, gotta watch my Trojans on the, as they go
do you know
deeper
if,
into despair.
If the Apple TV, the apps for basketball and MLB, what's the quality of the streams? Is it HD?
I haven't checked. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder.
It launched really, really quietly. There's like a little blurb on each company's
That's a big deal, actually.
I agree.
I mean, I think I want to say that MLB has been on Boxy already.
I think one of them has been on Roku too.
And Roku also had that. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, if someone out there, you know, if you want to cut the cord, it's becoming increasingly easier and easier.
Yeah. Well, and also if you
a
really
lot of
are,
options out there.
And if you're a live sports junkie, ESPN actually has a great service called ESPN 3.
ESPN 3, you're right. You're right. It's ESPN 3, it's the channel online.
Right. And basically, if you go and if your ISP is one on, you know, one of their list of like, you know, hundreds, it looks like.
You get the full channel.
You get it, yeah, for free.
Yeah.
And it's just on your computer and you can watch it.
And I've actually seen the streams on that.
Are they great?
It's great.
Excellent.
It's great. I mean, the high quality HD full screen. I mean, it looks really impressive.
The one caveat, however, is that if you are a Time Warner cable subscriber, as I am here because I can't get decent internet from anybody other than Time Warner, you have to actually have a cable subscription with them and subscribe to ESPN to get the channel. So that's
– you actually have to – Interesting.
You already have to have it on your TV to get it on your computer, which is why I love Time Warner Cable so much.
Oh, they're amazing. Sarcasm coming through the radio waves or podcasting waves.
I will say they have some support people on Twitter that are awesome, but their corporate policies are not so money.
And really have not been. I mean, I partially cut the cord. I didn't fully cut the cord. I did like a half cut.
Mm-hmm.
Time Warner offers a locals only package for $15 a month. And I thought, okay, locals only in HD, that's fine. And I have a TiVo. So, I mean, I have TiVo recording those shows. I have Amazon Video on Demand on there. Also, if I have any video files on my computer, I can play them through the TiVo, which is really cool. It has support for DivX and, you know, all the, and Xvid and all those other, don't know if it has MP4 or not, but it was like a half cord cut. But instead of paying $95 a month,
you're paying $95.
Yeah,
wow. Well, you're like you're a TV junkie though, because you
I'm
have
a TV
everything.
Junkie. Yeah, I mean, I'm watching like I have too many hours of television.
How many hours do you have on your TiVo right now? Tell me.
Right now, there's probably 30 hours on there.
What's the most embarrassing show? I'll give you one of mine.
Most embarrassing show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Most embarrassing, I'm going to be honest for our two listeners out there.
a nation of millions wants to know.
90210. I have 90210 on the TiVo.
That's embarrassing.
I can't help it, man. I grew up watching it, the original, and I got sucked into the new one.
I don't know.
I know. Yours?
I think I need to find a new podcast partner.
Come on, Brian.
Mine is Animal Planet's Animal Hoarding, which is basically hoarders.
Up. With animals?
With people that hoard animals. And it's
like old cat ladies with like 90 cats?
Or the guy with like 100 chickens who tells his daughter to like that he doesn't love her anymore because she wants him to get rid of his chickens.
Is it actually called Animal Hoarders?
It's called Animal Hoarding. A friend of mine who was evil showed this show to me, and like I've been addicted ever since.
That is fantastic.
What's the worst thing? You know what?
I actually kind of want to watch it now.
You will, and it'll actually make you sad. Because here's the thing, and you know, we watch Hoarding, and you're like hoarders, and you're like, these people are screwed up, and they go and have like a bunch of paper, and like whatever, and they're belligerent, whatever.
Right.
Animal Hoarding, something about the pathology of the people, like they are so. They get so attached to the animals as like the purpose in life, it becomes incredibly sad. Like they would, you know, the family, right. Like, you know, the distance between the family and all this kind of stuff. I watch end every episode going like, oh man, like what if like my grandparent was like that? Like, oh my God, that'd be the saddest thing in the world. And like, you just become depressed.
Oh my God, weird. All right. So
check it out. It's going to be great.
Awesome, man. Animal Hoarders.
Hoarding.
Oh, sorry.
Totally different show. Was not inspired by Hoarders because this one's called Animal Hoarding.
Hoarding, right. Yeah, they had they weren't watching Hoarders going, oh, what about these crazy people that hoard animals? That's mean. I'm calling them crazy. They're probably not all crazy.
Dude, it is totally normal to want to go and have 55 chickens in your house.
Especially your one bedroom studio apartment.
Seriously. Hey, don't talk about my chickens, dude.
Sorry. We'll leave it be. I didn't mean to do that. What else has been going on? let's segue out of that completely. So Google did an update for their mapping service on Android, which I'm sure eventually will be on iOS or whatever.
Oh, I don't think so. They haven't rolled out any of the recent.
They don't have the navigation on there yet, do they?
And they don't have like the 3D the buildings. I think they're keeping all that stuff proprietary.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's all the rumors that like for years, I guess Apple's been like
developing
on their own service and
that would
whatever.
Make sense. I can see that. But, well, they've had they have. Turn-by-turn navigation on the Android phones, which is great. It's really cool. And there's always been traffic. You can always look at traffic. So now with their latest update, it will give you driving navigation based on traffic conditions.
That's pretty awesome.
Which is pretty – a lot of cars have that built in. But now the fact that they have it on the phone, very cool. And the traffic updates, I just drove back from Vegas and let me tell you, they saved our butt. The traffic updates – were great, and we actually – I think we saved an hour by actually rerouting around an accident on the 15.
Wow.
With my Google apps, okay. My Google Maps
That's
app.
Impressive. For those of you that haven't – don't live in California or haven't driven from Vegas to California, the 15 is basically the only way to go and get back and forth.
Right. It's the only route.
Yeah. And it's like – what is it? Like a six-hour drive, five-hour and a half-hour drive?
It depends. I mean it's from L.A. to Las Vegas, it's 280 miles. Something like that.
So depending on how hungover you are or how eager you are to get there on the way over, it varies quite a bit. But yeah, if it gets blocked up, you are screwed.
Yeah, there was a major
stopped and you can't go anywhere.
You can't do anything. There was a major accident. I pulled up the phone. I looked at the route and I was like, oh my God, we can actually go around. And it took us around a very short distance. It was like one exit to the next exit. But that's where the accident was. It was a complete parking lot. Boom. Saved us over an hour. Easy. Love technology.
Thank you, Google.
Yes. Thank you, Google. As I posted earlier, I said, viva la Google Maps. What can I say? What else we got on tap this week?
Well, tell us about Vegas real quick. You were in Vegas for a concert, yeah?
Yeah, I just went to see the Strokes launch their North American tour out in Vegas. They have a new album coming out. It was a great show. New hotel out there called the Cosmopolitan. Very cool. Yeah.
Well, you were showing me pictures of – tell them about the pictures of the lobby.
Oh, yeah. So very tech-centric lobby at the Cosmopolitan. You walk in and there's these – it's really hard to describe. I'll put a picture up on our website, but it's these tall pillars of – they look like glass, but they're inside there's LED LCD screens. And they're huge and they cover the whole lobby. And behind the registration area, there's a huge one that's like, it's got to be 100 feet long just against the wall. And it changes what the theme is. So when I walked in, it was digital books all over the place. So it looked like you were in this huge digital library, almost like you, you know, walked into the Matrix. And like some of the books were falling over. Like there actually was a little movement. And then, you know, that's we went cool. up and saw the show. Show was great. Show was amazing. Not just great. The show was amazing. We come back down and it's a completely different theme. It's like you're in this like Asian, you know, like art filled, you know, lobby, and it had all these different imagery, like coming – really peaceful imagery coming down these long columns. It was really a very, very cool thing to see.
That's really neat. Yeah, the picture you showed me definitely looked like, you know, like the architect from The Matrix was like hanging out and like, yeah, you know, it definitely looked like that whole vibe.
Yeah, I walked in and I my eyes just bugged out. I was like, where am I? What just happened?
Awesome.
It was pretty crazy. But let's see. Vegas also resulted in some good food.
Oh, tell us about
the
food.
Let me tell you. So went to – in Vegas, went to a restaurant called Strip Steak. It's Michael Mina's steakhouse at the Mandalay Bay. Man, that place was phenomenal. I had this awesome Colorado lamb, mm-hmm. right? So I was debating – you know, I'm at a steakhouse. I'm like, I'm going to get steak. I'm going to get this. So I'm talking to the waiter, the server, asking him what I should order. And so I'm like, how is the lamb? And he gives me a description. It was – it sounded so good that I had to order it. He's just like, well, we take the lamb, we poach it in olive oil. So poached in olive oil first, then put on the grill with a little bit of seasoning, and then they serve it with this au jus on the side. It was amazing. It was amazing. I also have a photo of that.
Of course you do.
And then one of our other friends got pork, some sort of pork dish, but one of the sides was a creamy grits side dish, probably the best. And I'm not a huge grits fan. I don't know if you've ever had grits before.
Fine with grits.
Yeah, they're okay. These were the best tasting grits I've ever had in my life. Hands down, best tasting grits I've ever had. So if you're ever in Vegas, Michael Mina, Strip Steak, grits.
Very cool.
They were just a side, but it was good. It was good. Oh, it making me hungry just thinking about it. But, you know, so that was my food. Oh, that really wasn't – that wasn't my only food adventure. There was a lot of food going on this week, actually. So also this week, there's a bakery in New York and Los Angeles called Magnolia Bakery. Mm-hmm. Have you been there out here?
I have.
So Magnolia Bakery has – they're basically famous for their cupcakes. You know, they have their cupcakes. They kind of started – they're famous for starting the whole cupcake craze out in New York. So, you know, I'm sure everywhere else, you know, there's sprinkles popping up in a billion cities. You know, it's cupcake this, cupcake that. So I had a cake from there this week, just a regular cake. Phenomenal. But that's not the best thing this place has. This place has banana pudding. Now, you would think, banana pudding, why is that so good? What's so great? Just banana pudding, right? No, no, no. This is like a banana cream pie smushed up and put in a container that you eat with a spoon. It's this amazing banana-tasting pudding because it's banana pudding.
Right.
And then there's crushed vanilla wafers inside and whipped cream all mixed up and like
– wait, did you say
together.
Vanilla wafers?
Yeah. Isn't that what they're called?
Yeah. No, it's exactly what they're called.
Yes. No, you heard me.
No, I was very excited.
Brian is really excited right now. His eyes just popped open.
Vanilla wafers. Vanilla wafers. Excellent.
Yeah. Very unique, amazing dessert. Also, have a picture.
Yeah, you will learn that Scott takes pictures of everything. If anyone that's his friend on Facebook actually just sees photo upon photo of food, you have to start putting those on your Twitter feed. Let the people see the pictures.
You know what though? I will connect to my Twitter feed. But I started recently using this app called Food Spotting.
Oh, Food Spotting is great.
Which is on the iOS. It's on Android. There's also a website. So Scotty G7.
BC Bishop.
You can follow me on Food Spotting if you want. I will link it to my Twitter account also, which you can do from the app, which, by the way, very cool app. Let's talk, we can talk
yeah,
about that.
It's
for a
great
second.
App. It's a great concept. I haven't done a ton with the, you know, finding, I'm just kind of like narcissistically like to share my food. I haven't done a ton of, you know, looking at stuff. That's one problem I will say using social media apps in Los Angeles. People seem very slow on the uptake here in general.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah. You would think you would see more of it. I mean, I guess maybe it's better in a more condensed city like a New York or a Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I also think this is a much broader conversation for another podcast, but I think there's also something kind of about the culture of Los Angeles in general and just the way people feel about exclusivity and,
yeah,
and access.
And yeah, how, that's true. It's
and that's kind of like, you know, the corner of the realm, basically.
Yeah.
So definitely. Kind of, you know, I think people kind of, oh, we don't want to go and do that because that would let, you know, then let people inside.
Right, right.
You can't do that.
In. I know. You know, but
that's a rant for another day.
It is. What I like about the food spotting app is it's really easy. Yeah. They made it so simple. You take a picture either through the app or just with your camera itself.
And then take it from the library later.
And you post it. It automatically brings up where you are and shows you a list of restaurants so you can say where you got it from. And then once you bring up the list of restaurants, it automatically shows you the dishes. So you can say, took a picture of this. You know, the Colorado lamb at Strip Steak, you know, Las Vegas, post it. And when you post it, you can choose to post it just to Food Spotting or to Facebook and Twitter and Food Spotting all at once. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it really simple. Pop it up there. And then, you know, the other social aspect to it on the website is you can go through and look at what other people post. You can rate the items. They have a picture of the day.
Right.
You know.
And online, you can also basically go and on your phone and the apps, you can basically say, like, you know, find my location, I'm here, and it will show food that's been rated in that area. So something goes like, oh, that you know, that enchilada looks really, really good. You're right. Like, oh, it's three blocks away, I'll go do that.
It's kind of cool because I thought, you know, I post a lot of food pictures on Facebook, and I thought, I'm like, oh,
lots of food pictures on Facebook.
But I thought it was the only one that was doing this.
I do some from time to time.
No, people do, but I kind of felt like I was abnormal. It was just me. All of a sudden, there's an app. There's all these people out there that are posting it. It's kind of a thing.
The day it came out for Android must have been Christmas for you. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. It was great. I mean, I will still post regularly, but now that's the way I'm doing it now. I love the app. I love being able to, you know, put it up there and easily post to multiple sites at once. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, food spotting is great. Oh,
good stuff. And I haven't eaten since brunch this morning, so I am really hungry right now.
Yeah, so we're going to go food spot a pizza here, I think, in about 10 minutes.
That's a good call.
And we're actually running low on time here.
Oh, we are. Okay. I just quickly wanted to bring up something because I thought it was interesting. Space Shuttle Discovery.
Yes.
The last flight was actually this week.
It's on Thursday, right?
No, it's landed already.
I'm saying it landed on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, it landed on Thursday. Okay. And I guess it's going to go to a museum where you're going to be able to actually walk into the space shuttle and see it and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy that, you know, I mean, like I can remember them testing the space shuttles in the 80s.
Yeah, it's been such, I mean, people our age, I'm mid 30s, it's the shuttles in general have been such a entwined part, I think, of our growing up and experience.
Oh,
everything from like testing to Challenger,
right.
And everything. It's I don't know. There's something very, very heroic and noble and aspirational about them for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And it made me really, really sad actually to see that last one being retired.
I had the same feeling. I was like, wow, this has been such a huge. I mean, even still today, seeing the space shuttle take off is a cool big thing.
It's awesome.
And it's become so common, but it's still exciting and it's still an amazing thing to like talk about. It's always in the news, whether or not it's as big and popular as it used to be, it's still in the news and people are still, every time there's a launch, you still talk about it.
Definitely.
You know, and they said, I guess that for all practical purposes, the International Space Station is finished. Like that's a crazy statement to be made. They actually reported that the other day. I was like, wow, we actually have a space station finished floating around the earth and now no space shuttles to fly up to it.
Nobody go up there to see it. I don't know. That's interesting.
It's a little mind bending, you know, but it was just a momentous occasion that Discovery landed and it's, you know, it's being retired.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, to Discovery and all the people that, you know, flew all the shuttle missions, you know,
my
successful
hat's off to
and
them,
not,
man.
Applauds and respect to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, man.
Well, awesome. Thanks everybody for joining us. It's been great hanging out with you.
Always fun. Always fun.
Yeah. Once again, I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
And this has been Tech Bacon. And we'll see you guys next time.